There's so many bills that are going on, that all ongoing at once in this short session. We're going to bring in our first guest, State Senator Kevin Witkos. Hey, Kev, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. You know, I always go to the weatherman because at least you know you're 50%.
Yeah, you know, and again, we have Bruce DePriest on. We just had him on last Tuesday. When you want to know the weather, do I ask my mechanic or do I ask the local meteorologist? You know, it's let's go directly to the source of where we can obtain as close to factual information as we can possibly get.
So yeah, we're monitoring things at the state capitol. Yeah, I'm on an instant group chat with the governor's office, Department of Public Health, and all the legislative leaders. I can share right now we've had 47 individuals tested in the state of Connecticut for coronavirus. Only one has come back in positive, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, people just have to go and live their everyday lives, wash your hands as often as you can, and then
Kev,
just be cognizant of the things that you touch.
We had a doctor on twice. In fact, one was just late last week. And she's like, folks, my goodness, for the love of God, calm down. It's, you know, if you're elderly, okay. Oh, there's a protocol in place, okay. And because you're probably going to be more vulnerable, but for the average person, you know, it's really another type of flu. It really, I mean, wash your hands. There's measures that we can take, sneezing and you know, the discharge of bodily fluids and the whole. She went through this whole, you know, itinerary of things that, but it's reminds me, and she's even said this herself, it's very remnant of the flu, which, by the way, I know this year is a little bit stronger than in years previous. I grant people that. But let's not start. The media does this. They're notorious for this. You know, I get it. Ratings and people, you want to get people tuning in. I get it. My background is in radio and television. I know how that works.
It's about people's perception too, that, you know, I was talking to a 20-something-year-old the other day, and he said, he goes, oh, Jesus, this coronavirus. He goes, I thought you'd die if you got it in 6 months. I go, what?
Oh, my God. See,
it's
again.
Like a symptom of flu. They don't know, so that they, because they're busy living their everyday lives, and they pick up different things. But, you know, you go to the grocery store or a big box store, and you can't find any hand sanitizer because somebody has to go buy 20 bottles, which, you know, I think it's perception that people feel that they have to stockpile this stuff in their basement because they're going to be shutting their houses for months, yeah, and months.
No need to do that. And in this interview, by the way, folks, we had Dr. Virginia Bylock on. It was either, I don't know, Thursday or Friday. I forget which day. It's on our Facebook page. So go to Facebook and then type in the search field, Talk of Connecticut, and like the page, and you can partake in the conversations that continue long after we leave the airwaves. Weigh in on different topics, by the way. And you can also listen to a lot of the interviews, including the one that I just referenced with Dr. Virginia Bylock. And she'll set you, if you don't want to listen to me, that's fine. I'm just reiterating what she said and paraphrasing what she said in the interview. And but if you need to hear it from out of her mouth, that's totally fine. That's why we put it up there. We want you to take a listen to it. All right, Kev.
We continue at the Capitol. You know, we're busy as can be. We're in the throes of things, public hearings,
yeah,
going on today. I know the Judiciary Committee's got a few different bills that one may say is controversial. Public health, some more controversial bills.
Well, the one in public health, there's a bill allowing for drugs imported from Canada, right?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's
in the public option.
I think it's a good thing to the importation. I think it will help drive down the cost of some of the drugs. But then another committee has a bill that would actually escalate the cost of drugs.
Oh, jeez.
So it's, you know, these, they're not coming because everybody does their own thing. They're coming from different directions. So we'll see which one flushes out at the end. But Gary, as you know, having served in the legislature, only a fraction of these bills will ever become law.
That's right.
So yeah, we'll see which rises to the top.
Well, for two reasons. Number one, it has to make it through the committee process. And you and I both know that just because it passes one committee, there may be another committee of cognizance as well, and it may not get through the other committee. And not to mention the fact that due to this short session, only a certain amount of bills that make it through. Let's say even a bill makes it through the committee process. It doesn't guarantee that it's going to make it through and being called in both chambers of the House and Senate.
Right. I understand we're going to go in Wednesday afternoon to vote on a bonding bill, which I haven't seen yet, and finally get the town aides that they've been waiting for, you know, from last July. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Wow. is this the bill that the bonding bill that's supposed to give towns the money for snow removal and?
Right now, it'll be like spring cleanup money.
Oh, spring cleanup.
But this is going back to last July, so that's something that's happening. We have some more very controversial bills that are coming through that I think, starting to get some emails on regarding pregnancy centers and. We did the ammunition tax last week, which was a very, very long hearing.
I heard about that, yeah. Is there a vote on that?
We just had a hearing. I will be arguing against even bringing it up for a vote. I just don't think, there was probably 1,000 pieces of testimony that was submitted.
Holy smokes.
And I'd say 95% was opposed probably even higher. 99% was opposed to 1% supportive. So it'd be shameful if something like that was able to be passed out of committee when the general public has spoken resoundingly to say no, and they just flaunt the will of the public and just do what they want. So,
well, but that's happened before. The will of the public, what's that, you know?
Yeah, we the people for the people, governed by the people. So,
right. That's how it should be, right?
A little concerning, but we're going to be on a fast track, coming up with a lot of committees and finishing up their things. One of the bills that we're talking about now, because of the coronavirus, is price gouging for medical supplies.
Yeah.
We've heard anecdotally that a woman spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy masks, they could put on for, usually use them for painting, but now everybody wears them for bacteria purposes. And she was going to sell them on the internet, but she got empty boxes. So, people that are buying those types of things, they're looking to make a profit off of that. So we're talking about some legislation that may prevent price gouging when an emergency is declared in the state of Connecticut for health reasons.
Going back to the health care, there's a public option bill being this had a public hearing as well, right?
Yeah, I think that, I don't remember if they had it last week or it's coming up. Because there was a bill, I think, in the Public Health Committee, and I think there was one in the Insurance and Real Estate Committee as well.
And
so I don't know if both committees had their hearing yet.
A new proposal would allow small businesses, nonprofits, and labor unions to join a state-run Connecticut partnership plan with plans to be sold and underwritten through the state's comptroller's office.
Yeah, again, we're taking government that wants to compete against the private industry. And this sounds like the Bernie Sanders plan where he would outlaw private insurance and the government would provide insurance for everybody. And I just think that that's not something that we should be going after. Listen, we have a very small, negligible amount of people that are not insured in our state. And if we can find plans that make it affordable to them, then that's what we should be doing. Everybody gets served. You walk into any emergency room in the state of Connecticut, it doesn't matter whether you have insurance or not, you're going to be seen and treated. So that's at the bottom line. So folks have said, we have to make sure there's insurance. There is. We don't, that's not the best way to provide it, is walking to emergency room. We want to keep people out of emergency rooms. But at the end of the day, if it's a true emergency, they can go there and they're going to get treated. I think what we have to do is start working off some of the mandates that we have in Connecticut. We are one of the highest mandated states. I think there's 56 mandates that we require our insurance carriers to provide in our policies. And that drives up the cost.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, never a dull moment in the Labor Committee. I know this week's highlight includes an energy, that Green New Deal, SB 354, with the goal to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 80% by 2050.
Well, isn't it odd that they're hearing that in the Labor Committee and not in the Energy and Technology Committee?
Thank you. That was the first thing that I thought of as well. Why is this in the Labor Committee?
Well, I think it's something, it's so onerous, and the Senate chair of the Labor Committee was quoted as saying, well, everybody has a job, so that has to do with labor, and so that's why we're doing it. Because the Energy Committee, they're too smart to run a bill like that. They know that we're already paying a high cost of in our electric bills. Imagine if we adopted something like that, what they would be.
Yeah.
People wouldn't be able to afford their electricity. So I think that that bill's dead on arrival. I mean, they'll have a public hearing, which, in my opinion, is a waste of people's time. Now they're going to have to come up there thinking that this bill is going to come, pass or may come to fruition, where there's no way it's even going to make it, probably make it out of labor committee, but that's as far as it will go.
Well, the bill goes even further than Lamont's plan that called for a 45% reduction by 2030.
Yeah, they didn't think that his was enough. I mean, I don't know how people, how would you view Connecticut with a 50% reduction in fossil fuels in by that short a period of time? Yeah. I mean, it would change the landscape in our state.
Yeah. The Judiciary Committee had a public hearing regarding the legalization of recreational marijuana on Monday. This is known as SB 16. What's the down low on that?
Well, the bill has been around for a while. It changed a little bit this time. I think that they front-ended to offset some of the arguments regarding public safety to make sure that testing and things for drug driving is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the parts that I had a problem with was that if you had been arrested before in the past, you got a special rate to apply for your registration certificate versus somebody that was law-abiding.
Mm-hmm.
That part's all been taken out. So they're trying to compromise and work with the folks to get them to a yes vote.
Well, you have to increase the number of trained drug recognition experts in the state, right?
Right, yeah. So I think they're the focus this session, whether you're opposed or not, are addressing some of the concerns that folks had before in the past. So I give the governor credit on that because he's really driving that.
I guess the bill also includes, is it called an equity commission? Charged with developing proposals for how those individuals and communities greatly impacted by drugs could benefit from the legal cannabis market.
Right. So that's a change for the better than the old bill that they had last year and the year before. Last year, for example, if you were been convicted of possession of marijuana and you wanted to apply to open up a store, you would pay, say, a $25,000 non-refundable fee. But if you were a law-abiding citizen, never got arrested for it, your non-refundable fee was $75,000. So you were paying triple the cost of somebody that had been arrested before. And that was just so ludicrous to me that's why they removed all that part out and said, well, we'll form this equity commission to look at how do we allow for members that had been arrested before in the past or maybe from low socioeconomic areas to be able to own some of these stores. But all they have to do is allow partnerships. If you require somebody that's in the business now that runs the medical marijuana and say X percentage of your business has to be, because that's what it's for, the Black and Puerto Rican populations in our state. That's where they're driving to get that. To say that you're required to have a minority-owned business and then people will get partners.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got somebody that's already in the field, somebody that knows what they're doing, running a successful business. They're going to go look for a partner that helps them open up their store.
Gotcha.
If you want it to go.
Well, so before I let you go, we got less than a minute. What else should we be is on the radar here?
I think the big thing that's coming up is, I'm trying to think which committees, the Judiciary Committee, you know, that's always the last one. We're going to be doing the governor's budget. His budget proposal is coming up Wednesday. He's only raising taxes by $34 million only.
Only.
But
huh?
it's an additional tax increases, again, small, but sure, this year. So we'll be watching out for that.
Even in the in-between of the biennium budget, I mean, even this short session, he still has to in 35, what is it, $35
billion? Yeah, $34
million. $34 million in tax increases.
But you won't even know it because unless one of these is if you die, so the cost of a cremation permit goes up. So these are the types of things where they're hidden.
You're getting taxed even after you die. That's the state of Connecticut for you. Oh, my goodness. Kevin, you are always awesome, brother. We got to have you on more often, man. You're fantastic. We love having you here. I cannot thank you enough for joining us this morning.